May be seated. We come down to the conclusion of this little epistle of 2 Peter, and we find the Apostle Peter very much concerned about the influence of, he calls them wicked, the wicked, the wrong crowd, the wrong people upon God's people. Notice in verse 17 he says this. He says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before," here's that word of warning. What is it? Beware. Beware. He says this. He says, "Beware, lest ye also being led away with the same error of the," what? Wicked. So he's warning us about being led away by the error of the wicked. Now I think if we understand the whole book of Peter, Peter's issuing one more warning about those false teachers. And he's issuing a warning about people who wrestle with the Scripture. Notice in verse 16. He says, "As also in all his epistles," speaking of them, talking about the Apostle Paul's epistles, "of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned," the word unlearned means ignorant, "and unstable," they're unsteadfast. Notice the word is rest, that means to wrestle. They wrestle with some of these things, as they do also the other, now this is key, the other what? Scriptures unto their own, the Bible says, their own what? Destruction. So we've got a real serious warning to the people of God not to allow people who wrestle with the Scripture to influence us so that we are not steadfast in the faith. You see what Peter is trying to communicate? When we find that word beware in the Bible, it's always indicating something to watch out for. For example, if you and I were going to take a hike out in the woods at this time of year, one of the things that I would want to be watching for would be one of those things that sort of slides on the ground. I want to be aware of what? Snakes. Be aware because snakes are out in the woods right now. Well, that's a good warning, is it not? It's a terrible thing to meet a snake in the woods. It really is. And so I'd want that warning. Well, you know, as you look at that word as it's used in the Bible, the word beware, beware false prophets, the Lord says. He says, beware to his disciples. He said, beware of covetousness. For man's life consisteth not in the abundant things that he possesses. A warning there, something to watch out for, if you would please. He tells his disciples in another place, beware of leaven, talking about the false teachings of the scribes and the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And here Peter is saying, beware of the wicked. Beware of the wicked who wrestle with the Scripture, the Bible says, to their own destruction. To their own destruction. You know what that means? That means that they don't accept the Bible as the complete, full, and final authority of their faith and practice. Now, let me put it in very simple terms. When God speaks in His Word, our response should be one of, I believe it. God said it, I what? I believe it. And that settles the entire issue. Do I have to wrestle with what the Bible clearly says? The answer to that is what? No. If God says it, you see, the Bible settles the matter. When God speaks, we're to respond in what? Faith. We're to take God at His Word and believe what God says in His Word. But yet there are people in our world that understand what the Bible says. They read what the Bible says, yet they wrestle with those things, and they wrestle with the Scriptures, and the Bible says they wrestle with them to their own what? Destruction. And Peter is concerned that those people who are out in the world who are wrestling with what the Bible clearly says will influence God's people to not be steadfast in their faith. You see, he's warning there. He says, you guys need to be careful, lest being led away, in verse 17, with the error of the wicked, you fall from your own, what? Steadfastness. You see that at the end of verse 17? Everybody look in your Bibles, if you would, please. In verse 17, once again, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, before, beware lest he also being led away with the error of the wicked, the error of the what? Wicked, you would fall from your own what? Steadfastness. Be careful that you don't fall from your steadfastness through those who are wrestling with the scripture in unbelief, you get led astray. Now, the first thing I want to say here this morning is this. When the Bible warns us about falling from our own steadfastness, first point I want to make, and I want to make it clear, and I want to take the Bible and show you this and let the Bible speak to us for itself, and that is this. Falling from one's own steadfastness is not the same thing as falling from one's salvation. It's not the same thing. You cannot fall from your salvation. You cannot lose your salvation. I mean, once you are saved, according to the Word of God, you are saved, you are safe, and you are secure for all of eternity. So whatever falling from your steadfastness means, it does not mean you've fallen from your salvation, that you've lost your salvation. And this morning, let's take the Bible, let's let the Bible speak to our hearts about that. Let's not wrestle with the Scriptures to our own destruction. Let's just let the Bible speak and choose to believe. Amen? So let's take it and see. John chapter 5, if you would please. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. You know, there's so many varying opinions of men on this issue about whether or not a person can lose their salvation. Well, how in the world do we get that thing settled? By listening to the Word of God. I mean, that's the issue. I mean, that, you know, what does God say? But so-and-so says this. Well, listen, the authority is not so-and-so. But I think this. Well, listen, the authority is not I. The authority is the Word of God. God. You know, we can take what other people say, we can take what we think, we can bring up, well, what about this situation? This person says he's saved, but he did this, and doesn't that mean he doesn't have a salvation? Hypothetical situation, but yet the authority is not the hypothetical situation. The authority is the Word of God. We've got to get that in our clear in our heads here this morning. If you get nothing else out of this morning, church, the authority is the what? Word of God. Now let's see what God says on this issue of losing salvation. In John chapter 5, in verse 24, let's read the verse, and then I want to point out to you three reasons from that verse why, once you're saved, you can't be lost. In John chapter 5, in verse 24, look at what the verse says. Verily, verily, this is Jesus speaking. He's telling us the truth. He's saying, listen up, I'm about to say something I want you to get. That's what that verily, verily is there for. Emphasis. I'm saying something I really want you to grab hold of. Every time you get to a verily, verily in the Bible, that means sit up, pay attention, listen to what's being said, because there's a point about to be made that is a point of emphasis that the Lord really wants us to grab hold of and understand and get. So what is it? He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath, look at what the Bible says, church, that person has what? Everlasting life. And the goes on and says, and shall not come into what? Condemnation, but that person has passed from death unto what? Life. Now, there are three words I'd like for you to write down this morning, if you have a pen and something to write on. Three words I want you to write down, because these words help us to understand what John chapter 5 and verse 24 is saying to us. Why is it I cannot lose my salvation? Well, number one is the word possession. Number one is the word possession. According to John chapter 5 and verse 24, when I hear the Word of God, I hear the message of Jesus Christ as coming to be the Savior of the world. I take God at His Word concerning what He tells me about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I accept Him as my Savior. I mean, that's the result of taking God at His Word, is it not? If I take God at His Word, what am I going to do? I'm going to trust Jesus to be my Savior. Is that right? Sure, because what does God the Father witness of? He witnesses of His Son, that Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners. Paul says, of whom I am what? Chief. And He saves us. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever what? Believeth in Him. So when we believe in Him, He saves us. We're not going to perish. We have everlasting what? Life. Now, when I came to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, there's a possession that I got. It became mine. It became mine. See, what is a possession? A possession is something that is yours that you want, that you own, that you have. Right? Now, according to that verse, what do I have? Look in John chapter 5 and verse 24 once again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, what do I have? I have everlasting what? The word "have" is just simply a present possession. It means I have it. I has it. What do I has? Everlasting what? Well, but you could lose it. Well, listen to me. If I can lose it, then how can I say I have everlasting life? Everlasting is everlasting. It's not here today, gone tomorrow. It's not here today, gone 10 years from now. If I have everlasting life, what kind of life do I have? Everlasting. Which means I can never, ever be lost. Because if I could ever be lost, then I wouldn't possess everlasting what? Jesus had to say, well, I can give you a temporary life. As long as you don't mess up too badly. I'm glad he didn't say that, aren't you? I've already messed up too badly. Right? Right. No, what does he give us? Gives us say it with me, everlasting. And isn't it our present possession? According to the verse, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath or has. He has. What does he have? Everlasting life. See, I can never lose it. I can't lose it because it's my possession. It's my present possession. It's a possession of, hey, this is wonderful. This is great. Not temporary life. I've got everlasting life. Wow. Isn't that neat? I like that. I'm going to get excited about that whether he will or not. I've got it. And it's never leaving me. Mm-mm-mm. That's good stuff. That's right. That's better than strawberry shortcake. John chapter 5, verse 24. Look at it now. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, why can't you lose your salvation? Because of your present possession. First of all, you have what? Everlasting life. Now, number two, write down this word, if you would please. Write down the word promise. Write down the word promise. See, that verse talks about, first of all, possession, but then it gives us a promise. It gives us a promise. And now look at the promise. Look at what God says in that verse. First of all, possession. You have everlasting life. And now look at the promise. And shall not come into what? Condemnation. Once I have eternal life, I will never, ever come into condemnation. That's a promise. That's a promise. Who's promising? God is promising. Let me ask you a question. God ever lie? No. Does God always keep his word? So if I come to believe on his son, if I come to trust his son as Savior, am I ever going to be lost after that? Not according to the word of God. Why? Because of my possession, first of all. Secondly, because of his what? Promise. The promise that he says, hey, I'm not going to come into condemnation. But then notice, thirdly, if you would please, I've got a new position. Look at what he says here. A new position. And he says, but I've been passed from death unto what? Life. See, the Bible teaches that when we're born physically on the face of the earth, we are here physically alive, but spiritually we are dead. Ephesians chapter 2 says, and you hath he quickened, in verse 1, you hath he quickened. The word quickened means to be made alive. Christ has quickened us, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Spiritually, we were dead. But when we come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we're no longer dead spiritually. Now we're what? Alive. And the Bible is saying here, at the end of the verse, there's something that has transpired. There's a passing that has transpired. I once was over here spiritually what? Dead, but I've been passed from death unto what? Life. What do I have? Well, I've got eternal life. I've got everlasting life. I've got spiritual life. And in that transference that has taken place, then destiny has transferred as well. Because if I die in my sins, dead in my sins, then I experience the second death, to be cast into the everlasting lake of fire. But I'm no longer dead in my sins, and I've been passed from what? Death. I'm not going to hell. I've now been passed into what? Life. I am going to heaven. Woo! Man, I got a lot to look forward to. Don't you? Heaven's a wonderful place. And it's a marvelous place. And those of us who've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior have the assurance we've been passed from death unto life. Now think with me. If we could lose our salvation, you know God would have to take that transference that has transpired in our lives and undo it and reverse it. Do you realize that? We'd have to pass from life back unto death. Now, the God up in heaven who is so concerned about the salvation of lost sinners that he would send his only begotten Son to this world to die on the cross in our place and take the judgment on our behalf, you think the great God up in heaven is going to do that? You think he's going to take one of his children who's been passed from death unto life and put him back into death? The answer is what? No. Why? Because we have been passed from death unto what? Unto life. He's not about to pass us back. Amen? Amen. Now take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, page 1250. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, let's just deal with this thing this morning. Let the Word of God speak. It's up to you to be a person of faith, to believe God. I'm not going to wrestle with this issue of can a person lose their salvation. Why not? Because God's so clear in His Word. And if God's so clear in His Word, you know, I'm not going to debate it. I'm not going to argue it. I'm not going to wrestle it. I'm going to accept it. I'm going to believe it. You want to wrestle with the fact that you think you can lose your salvation, you can never be certain of your salvation, you go ahead and wrestle with it. I'm not wrestling with it. I'm going to take God at His Word. And I'm going to let God be the authority for what I believe. And here in Ephesians chapter 1, if you would please. Ephesians chapter 1, by the way, you've got the right to be wrong. But it'll be a terrible thing to be wrong on that, because you'll wrestle unto your own destruction. Your own destruction. Remember what Peter warns. You wrestle to your own what? Destruction. Ephesians chapter 1, if you would please. In Ephesians chapter 1, here's some wonderful truths. In verse 13 and 14, if you would please. Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible says, in whom ye also trusted, we trusted in Jesus, did we not? After that, you heard the word of what? Truth. You got to hear it before you can believe it. But when you heard it, what did you do? You believed it. You trusted in Jesus. Notice it goes on. It says, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that you believed, literally, when you believed. The very moment you believed, the very moment you trusted Christ, notice what the Bible says. Ye were, look at the word, ye were what? Sealed. Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Now, here's another reason why, once we're saved, we can't be lost. And that is, we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, just mark it in your Bibles and say, dear God up in heaven has told me I have been sealed. You know what that means? I have been what? Sealed. And I've got the Holy Spirit of God within me. He is God's earnest of my inheritance. God's guarantee to me that one of these days, He's calling me home to heaven, and I'm going to be with Him. I'm going to walk down heaven's streets, and I'm going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to be in His presence. It's never, ever going to be lost. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, in Bible days, a seal represented three things. Represented three things. Number one, it represented a finished transaction. A finished transaction. Our salvation, the moment we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, was finished. It was finished from start to end. It was a finished thing. Take your Bibles, hold your place here in Ephesians, and go with me to the book of Acts, if you would please. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, page 1172. Don't lose Ephesians. I'm going to bring you right back there. But go with me to Acts chapter 16, if you would please. A seal back in Bible days represented a finished transaction. A finished transaction. A finished transaction. A finished transaction. The transaction is completed. It is finished. There was a seal that was affixed to it. It's over with. It's done. Official seal, if you would please. See, there were different seals in the Bible. Some seals that the kings would wear with their rings, they would have an insignia, and they would have a document, and after they signed the document, they would pour some wax on that document, and then they would put their ring in there, would signify, hey, this is official, this has been sealed by the king. There's no higher authority than the king. Don't overrule my authority. Listen to the document that I said, because that is the law of the land. It's a final thing. It's been what? Sealed. So God has sealed us, so to speak. See? He has taken us and He has placed His seal upon us. And our salvation is not a process. This is where so many folks go awry. They think salvation is a process. They think salvation is a combination of what Christ did for them on the cross of Calvary and now what they come along and help God out doing. And they think that salvation is what they earn and what they merit and what they do. Instead of realizing salvation is a gift that's received when they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and at that point in time, it is a finished transaction. Hey, at the time of our salvation, the great God of the universe takes and He puts His ring upon us. He seals us with His Spirit. Now in Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, notice what it says. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, the question was asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, here's the answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be what? In other words, believe on Christ and you're saved. It's done. It's a done deal. It's a finished transaction. It's not a process of keeping on doing something. No, it's a process of, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, salvation is not a process. Salvation is an event. It's an event. The moment you and I came to understand our need for a Savior, God, we're lost, and we need Christ to save us. And we understood that Jesus died on that cross to pay the penalty for our sin, that He was God's provision. And we said, God, I'm going to take You at Your word, and I'm trusting the Lord Jesus Christ to be the one to save me from my sin. Hey, Acts 16:31 took place in my life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be what? The very moment I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I was what? Saved. And what did God up in heaven do? Oh, He took the Holy Spirit of God and placed Him within me, and in doing so, boop-boop, Hey, you may not be able to see it, but I got the seal. You've got the seal if you've trusted in Jesus. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. It's a finished transaction. You know, that seal not only represented a finished transaction, it also represented ownership. Ownership. Go with me to 1 Corinthians to your right. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Don't lose your place in Ephesians. I'll bring you back there. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It represents ownership. Ownership. Page 1217. My salvation is a finished transaction. I now belong to God. Woo! I like that. I belong to the Lord. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, notice what the Bible says. Ownership. I've been bought. You know, you've been bought. You know where the Lord found you? He found you in the slave market of sin. That's right. Nothing more than a servant to sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ bought you out of that slave market. And He has delivered you and freed you from the penalty of sin. Sin's penalty will never, ever fall upon you. You're no longer a slave. Hey, you're a servant of Jesus Christ. Look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your... Oh, how we need to understand that. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to the one who bought us. And he goes on in verse 20, he says, for you've been bought with a what? What a price. What a price. The death, the blood of Jesus Christ. There used to be a song we used to sing years ago, you know, that all the wealth of the world could not buy one splinter of the tree that Jesus died on. I mean, how in the world can you estimate the worth of God's Son? How can you put Him in the value of monetary things? I mean, if you took all the wealth of the world, I mean every bit of the wealth of the world, and say Jesus is equal to the wealth of the world, He's worth more than that. He's worth more than that. If you took all the money in the world, if you took all the real estate in the world, if you took all the material possessions of man in the world and said, Jesus is equal to all those things. No, you're wrong. He's worth more than that. He's worth more than that. Don't you understand the tremendous price with which you have been purchased? Jesus Christ, God Himself, the God who created this world, came down in the form of a man, took upon Himself that form of a man, was made in the likeness of man for the suffering of death, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, every last one of us. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify who? God in our body and our spirit, which are whose? See, twice in those verses, it tells us we don't belong to ourselves, we belong to the Lord. We belong to God. God has purchased us. See, we've been sealed. I'm not going to lose my salvation. Why aren't I going to lose my salvation? Got the Holy Spirit of God within me. And He has what? He sealed me. And what does that seal signify? It's a finished what? Transaction. It's a done deal. Do you realize that I am as much saved today as I will be, you know, after I've been 10 years in heaven? In other words, up in heaven, after I've been there for 10 years, I'll be no more saved than what I was down here. If you're saved, you're saved. You got it? I mean, that's what the Bible's teaching us. Are you going to wrestle with that, or are you going to let the Bible be your authority? If you wrestle with things, you'll wrestle to your own. Peter's warning. You'll wrestle with them to your own what? Destruction, well, I'm saved. I can't be destroyed like those false teachers. That's right, but you won't be steadfast in the... He says you'll fall from your steadfastness. Mm-hmm. You'll fall from your steadfastness. Don't wrestle with the Word of God. Let it be its authority. That seal represented the finished transaction. It represents ownership. Hey, I belong to God. I'm happy to belong to God. I'm thrilled to belong to God. You say, why are you so happy to belong to God? Because I once belonged to the devil. It's that simple. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. You say, Pastor, I didn't know you were a devil worshiper. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Colossians chapter 1. Page 1262. Colossians chapter 1. We all belong to the devil. The whole world lieth in the wicked one. Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. And in Colossians chapter 1, look at this. Look at this, if you would, please. In Colossians chapter 1, in verse 13, notice the Bible says this. Who hath delivered us from the power of what? Darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear what? Woo-hoo. Do you see that? Do you understand what that means? Who hath what? Delivered us. Are you delivered? Delivered from what? Well, the Bible says, the kingdom of what? The kingdom of what? The power of darkness. Whose kingdom is that? That's Satan's. Where were we? We were in darkness. We were in the kingdom of darkness. We were in Satan's kingdom. We were of our father, the devil. That doesn't mean we were worshiping the devil. It just means we were lost as lost could be. But what did the Lord do? He delivered us. He translated us out of that kingdom. And He put us into the kingdom of His own dear what? Son. Ownership. Ownership. Who do we belong to? We belong to God. How do we know we belong to God? Yeah. Holy Spirit of God has what? Sealed us. How do we know that? Because the Bible says it. God's word's true. God doesn't lie. God's true to his promises. The scripture. We've got to learn to rest upon the scriptures. And there's a third thing that seal symbolized. Go back, if you would please, Ephesians chapter 1. The third thing that seal symbolized was security. Security. Let's say that king wanted to send a document to someone else, that he didn't want anybody else reading the document. Well, he'd roll that thing up. That document would be like that. They pour that wax on there, and he'd put his what? He'd put his seal on there, and you know what? When he gave that to that runner to take it somewhere else, you better not be nosy and break the seal. Because if that guy gets it with the seal broken, off with your head. You don't mess with the king's what? Seal. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing for us. You know, there's security there. I mean, I'm saved. I'm safe. I'm secure in the Lord. The Holy Spirit living in me is God's guarantee. See, that's what Ephesians 1:13 is trying to, or 14 is trying to say to us. Verse 13 is telling us the fact that we have been sealed. Verse 13, once again, look in your Bibles. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, having believed, ye were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's what happened. We were sealed. Now, verse 14 says, which is the earnest of our what? Inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Now, the word earnest, you hear that terminology when you deal with real estate. You make a contract, you want to purchase something, you put down some earnest money, right? You put down a down payment on that. If for one reason or another you don't go through with your contract, what happens? You lose your money, right? Isn't that right? Right. Because that is to be a guarantee that you're going to come through on your end of the deal. Hey, here is God up in heaven that doesn't have to guarantee anything that he's going to come through on his end of the deal, because God always does. He didn't do it for him. You know who he did it for? He did it for us. He did it for us. And what did he do? He gave us a guarantee. He gave us a down payment, guaranteeing that he's going to come through on this transaction. And what is that earnest? Holy Spirit within us. Look at what it says in verse 14, which is the Holy Spirit of promise is the earnest of our what? Inheritance. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. In other words, has he bought us? But are we home with him yet? And so who's with us until we get home? Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, look in verse 30. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, where the Bible says this. The Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are, here we go again, ye are what? Sealed until, or unto, the what? Day of redemption. Holy Spirit's in us. Amen. He's God's guarantee. Sealed until the day of, till we get all the way home to heaven to be with the Lord. Can we ever lose it? Not according to what the Word of God says. Now, do you need some more? Let's go one more. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Page 1311. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's not wrestle with the Scriptures on what God so clearly says. If God clearly says it, there's no need to wrestle with it. We need to respond in faith. Take God at His Word. Believe God. And realize that's what the Bible says. So therefore, it's true. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, notice starting in verse 1, the Bible says this, or verse 4, excuse me. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, where is it reserved? In heaven for you. So we've got an inheritance in heaven waiting for us. Verse 5 says this, who are kept by, what are we kept by? The power of God through what? Faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And then verse 9 goes on to say, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now as we think about verse 5 for just a moment, who are kept, what's keeping us? Not ourselves. Not ourselves. We don't keep ourselves saved. We didn't save ourselves. We don't keep ourselves saved. The Lord saved us, and the Lord keeps us. See, the Bible says we are kept by the power of who? God. Now, I want you to hold your finger here, and I want you to think of with me at two other verses in respect to this idea. We are kept by the power of who? God. So hold your finger there and go with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I want to compare this scripture with John chapter 10 in verses 28 and 29. Page 1129. John chapter 10. So we're kept saved by the power of God. And in John chapter 10, notice if you would please, in verse 28, look at what Jesus promises. He says, and I give unto them my sheep, my people. He says, I give unto them what kind of life? Isn't that wonderful? It's not temporary. It's not life until you do wrong. It's not life as long as you walk the straight and narrow. It is what kind of life? Eternal life. Now let's go on. He says, I give unto them eternal life, and look what he also says. I give you eternal life, and you're, well, maybe you will perish. No. No. If your Bible says that, you got the wrong Bible. You got the wrong Bible. Look at what Scripture says. The Bible says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never what?
Perish.
Never perish. Never what? Perish. How can we perish if we have eternal life? You can't. That's the idea of it. You're not going to perish. But then notice it goes on to say this, because I want you to think with me. 1 Peter 1, 5, we're kept by the power of who? God. Now look here at what Jesus says. He says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my what? Hand. So let my watch here this morning represent you and I who trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Jesus says, if we've trusted Him as our Savior, He's given us, according to the verse, what's He given us? Eternal life. And then He says, we're never going to what? Perish. And now He goes further and He says, and I've got you in my what? Hand. See, we are kept by the power of who? God. Christ has us in His hand. But He doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop there. Look at verse 29. Verse 29 goes on to say this, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So look up here, if you would, please. Not only are we in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are also in the hand of the Father, and no one is greater than my Father. Who can pluck you out of my Father's hand? And the answer is, no one. No one. No one. Caleb, can I use you this morning? Can you help me out this morning? Come here. Come here for a minute. No? You're not going to come help me? All right. Who will come help me? I don't want you, Adam. How about you, Alexis? Huh? Can you come help me out? Stand over here. There you go. What's your name? Good. I thought you were. All right. What do I have in my hand, Alexis? A watch. And you know this hand is representing Jesus. And the watch is representing those of us who trusted Jesus as our Savior. And the Bible says that Jesus takes us and puts us in His hand. But then the Bible also says that we're also found in God the Father's hand. Now what's inside those hands? Can you get them out? Can you get the watch out? Try. Give a better effort than that, Elvis. Just come on. Really try hard. Just don't bite me. Are you praying as hard as you can? Try a little harder, Alexis. Can you do it? Try it again. Can you do it? Okay, all right, you can go sit down. Now, can you imagine us or anyone else trying to pry ourselves out of the hand of God Almighty? Is it going to happen? I saw someone recently, and they said, God has no desire to cast me out. But can I take myself out of his hand? How in the world are you going to get yourself out of his hand? God's the creator of the universe. He's all-powerful. Isn't he? I mean, if the all-powerful creator has me in his hand, then who in the world comes close to getting me out? Now, the second question is this. Why would I ever want to? Why would I ever want to get out of his hand? Does that make sense? No. See, don't let, these hypothetical things rob you from what the Bible says. The Bible's so clear. We don't have to wrestle with the scriptures. We just need to believe it. See, what does 1 Peter, we held our place there, what does 1 Peter say? 1 Peter says this. 1 Peter says, in verse 5 again, who are kept by the what? Power of God, through faith unto what? Salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And then verse 9 again, receiving the end of our what? Faith. When you put your faith in Christ, you're going to receive the end of it. What's the end of it? Well, the Bible says even the what? Salvation of your what? Somebody's going to come up to me after the service and say, well, don't you believe that a believer can backslide? Backslide, yes. Lose his salvation, no. He can fall from his own steadfastness. We can't fall from salvation. Salvation's not his to get, and his salvation's not his to keep. Salvation is the gift of God that God gives to every believer. Peter is warning us. Peter is warning us about people who wrestle with the scriptures, those who question and doubt the word of God, and that their influence would cause you to begin to wrestle with the scripture and not be steadfast in the faith. Now go back with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, if you would please. 2 Peter chapter 3. See, I want you to understand this issue of security on the basis of the Bible. Have you seen this morning what the Bible teaches? Yes. And as you see what the Word of God teaches, now, it's up to you to respond in faith, to believe God. That God's going to do what He promised He'll do. He'll never, ever fail in His promise. Now, as we go back to 2 Peter chapter 3, it's important that we consider what Peter is saying in the context of the passage. In fact, that's the only way to rightly divide the word of truth. And these people who were wrestling with the scripture, you know what the context points out? It points out that they were wrestling with things that Paul wrote about. Notice what it says. Verse 15. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother, who? Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his what? Epistles, which he wrote quite a few. He wrote quite a few. 13, if you don't count the book of Hebrews. 14, if he did, of 27 books. That's a bunch, isn't it? And it says also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be what? Understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures. So not only are they wrestling over things that are found in the other scriptures, they're wrestling over things that are found in Paul's writings. You follow me? What Peter's pointing out here? By the way, there was no division between the apostles. See how Peter referred to Paul? My beloved brother, who? Paul. Well, they were united in what they were doing. They were united in what they were teaching. And Peter is pointing out, you know, there's people in our world that are wrestling with the Word of God. And there are people in our world who are wrestling with things that Paul wrote in his epistles. When I say that to you this morning, a big light ought to go off in your mind if you've been a member of this church 5 years or longer. They're wrestling over Paul's writings. You know what they're wrestling over? They're wrestling over the issue of grace. Because Paul was the man who unveiled to us the doctrines of God's grace. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Go quickly, please. Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, notice what the Bible says here. In Ephesians chapter 3, I've got about time to make the point, and then we're going to have to, we'll have to end this morning, but I've got the illustrations to go with the point. So I don't know if you'll understand it without the illustrations. Ephesians chapter 3, notice verse 1 if you would please. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the what? Grace of God, which is given me to you word. What did Paul reveal to the Gentiles? The marvels of the grace of God. That God will save the Gentiles as well as the Jews through Jesus Christ alike if you come to put your faith in Him. And notice it goes on to say how that by revelation He made known unto you the mystery, as I wrote aforetimes in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages, it wasn't made known unto the sons of men, as it's now revealed in His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, here's the mystery, that the Gentiles should be all wonderful. Fellow what? Heirs. And of the same what? Body. And partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. Well, the Apostle Paul saw himself on a mission. And when he was warned about going down to Jerusalem, he says, persecution awaiting him, he says, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I may accomplish or fulfill the ministry which was given to me of the Lord, that I might testify unto you the gospel of the grace of God. There were people who were wrestling over Paul's writings. Things that were hard to be understood. You know what has been wrestled with ever since Paul's written it? That's hard for people to grasp? Grace. Grace. Salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone. People wrestle with that issue all the time. And they wrestle with it to their own, as the Bible says, what? You mean faith alone in Christ alone is enough to get a person to heaven? That's wrestling with the issue of grace. Do you realize that? That's wrestling with the issue of grace. Well, are you telling me I can trust Christ as Savior and go out and live as I please? That's wrestling with the issue of grace. What that person wants to do is say you're saved by Christ plus how you live your life. By the way, grace never teaches us to go out and live as we please. But grace also lets us know we're not saved by how we live our life. We're saved by Christ alone. And so Peter is issuing a warning to God's people that is even so needed so much today in the world that we're living in today. And that is we've got to be steadfast. 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 Proclaiming the Word of God. God's people need to rise up and know their Bibles. Know what the Word of God says, and be able to stand for the truth, and realize that salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone, not a part of man's works or anything to it. No, we're not saying you trust Christ as Savior and go out and live as you please, but listen to me. You're not saved by how you live. You're saved by faith in Christ alone. We're saved by grace, we are kept by grace, and we live by grace. It is the message of grace that is dear and precious to our hearts, because that is the New Testament message for the church of Jesus Christ. It is the message of grace. We're not under the law. We're not saved by grace and then start living under the law. Absolutely not. Christian life is a life of grace. We need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Peter was concerned that these dear people would not be steadfast. They'd fall from their own steadfastness. They would totter back and forth over people who wrestle with the Scriptures. We live in a world where people wrestle with the Scriptures. They wrestle. We just need to be steadfast, standing on what the Word of God says. People wrestle on the issue of security all the time. Yet we just need to stand where the Word of God stands. Stand where the Word of God stands. Have you been saved by grace through faith? If not, take God at His Word and trust the Lord Jesus. He'll save you. You've been worried about whether or not you could lose your salvation? Hey, you going to let God's Word speak to you? You going to let it be the authority? You going to believe God? And let God trust you? Trust God? You going to take God at His Word and trust God? You trust God. You're in Jesus' hand. You're in the Father's hand. Who's praying you out? Who is greater than He who can cast you out? Well, Father, we come before You this morning. We thank You for the truthfulness of Your Word. Help us to be steadfast in it. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here this morning that has not yet come to rest in Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Him alone, trusting Jesus and Jesus alone to be their way to heaven, I would pray that even now this morning, as I close this service in prayer, that they might talk to You and tell You, dear God, I'm going to trust Your Son to be my way to heaven. I'm going to rest in that salvation that You provide for me. I'm going to believe that You've saved me, and I'm saved for all eternity, and I'll never be lost. Father, help us to be people who are steadfast in our faith, that we're not going to be moved by those who twist the Scriptures to their own destruction, those who doubt the Word of God, those who deny the Word of God. Oh, Father, those that take the Scriptures and just discard them and do not believe them. Help us to be people of faith and trust You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.